بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is, I don't know what number is this session. In fiqh, it's our 56th session. Reading from Arabic lessons in fiqh, level 3, Mustawa Thalith, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Okay, Allahu Musta'an. Again, in the previous sessions, we covered a number of things related to this topic of Mubtilat As-Siyam, the things that invalidate the fast. We read from our textbook, yani a number of matters that invalidate the fast, and then we read from secondary sources some other points and some differences of opinion, and today, inshallah, we want to continue with other points and differences of opinion. From the things that we said are agreed upon that invalidate the fast, number one,
eating.
Number two, along with eating, drinking. Yani eating and drinking is two separate things, right? They usually mention together, but there are two things. Eating invalidates the fast, drinking as well invalidates the fast. Even if you didn't eat, if you just drank, it invalidates the fast by itself. Also, what invalidates the fast? Sexual intercourse invalidates the fast. And one more matter that's agreed upon? Vomiting intentionally invalidates the fast. After that, there were a number of other things mentioned, like seminal emission, semen being emitted. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, by hugging, and it's in our textbook also, by kissing one's spouse or hugging and things like this. Huh? And also it was mentioned in secondary text that if a woman has her menses, any monthly period, or after childbirth, delivery, bleeding, then that also invalidates the fast. That's something she has no control over. If it happens, invalidate the fast. These are the things that are agreed upon. There's no difference of opinion about them. Wallahu a'lam. Even if it is just a few moments or one moment before the adhan, yani, it is, yani, by Allah's decree, right? It's by Allah's decree. Naam. Tayyib. We didn't finish the discussion that we're reading from Al-Mulakhis Al-Fiqhi from Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhahullah. So I just want to kind of quickly go through the remaining points. From the points that Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentioned was that the first thing he said, al-jima, sexual intercourse, and he had some discussion concerning that. The second thing he mentioned, inzal al-mani, seminal emission, caused by kissing, touching, or istimna, yani masturbation, or even yani repeated looking, yani glancing, looking, yani with, yani, what do you say? Lustfully, naam. So if any of these things occur, then it invalidates the fast, and the person has to make up for that day without kafara, those things that he mentioned, without kafara. And that is because kafara is specifically legislated for sexual intercourse. He said if a person has seminal emission in their sleep, then their fast, there's no harm against them, the fast is valid. And that's because this is something they did not by choice, but they still have to take a ghusl. Then he said eating and drinking intentionally. He said if a person ate or drank forgetfully, it doesn't invalidate the fast. And then he said from the things that invalidate the fast is water, or that which is like it, reaching the internal part of the body, reaching into the jawf, the internal part of the body, by way of the nose. And he said this thing that he's referring to other than water is sa'ut, that is snuff. And then he said, وَأَخْثَ الْمَغْذِيَ, taking that which brings nutrition by way of the vein, بطريق الوريد, yani intravenous, nutritional, intravenous in, fluids, also invalidates the fast, and also a blood transfusion, and we had a long discussion about that last week, medical discussion. Also, the Sheikh said, invalidates the fast, and he said, because all of these things are means of nourishment for the person. So the Sheikh, the basis of his ruling, the illah, he's saying is because it's nutritional. So in that case, we don't want to get into the discussion again, but if a person has a blood transfusion that is not nutritional, then the Sheikh's opinion is that it doesn't invalidate the fast. He's saying those things invalidate the fast because they are nutritional. Therefore, if there's such a thing as a blood transfusion that's not nutritional, and that's what we were told last week, from a medical perspective, there's a type of blood transfusion that's not nutritional, then in that case, the Sheikh's view would be, it doesn't invalidate the fast. So he's saying clearly, because it invalidates the fast. That's the illah. So if it doesn't, then it doesn't break the fast. And also he said, the injection, yani with a needle, yani, what do you call that? Injection that's for nutrition. A nutritional injection, yani with a needle, yani whatever you call those needles. Huh? Hypodermic or whatever kind of needle. If a person is given an injection for nutritional purposes, then this also invalidates the fast. And that is, the Shaykh says, لِأَنَّهَا تَقُومُ مَقَامَ الطَّعَامِ, because it's taking the place of food. So it's substituting for the food, and therefore it invalidates the fast, the Shaykh says. As far as the injection that is not nutritional, then he said this one, yani, does not invalidate the fast, but it is, yani, more befitting that the fasting person avoid the injection, even the one that's not nutritional, yani, just to protect and preserve his fast from any doubt or whatever. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet, leave that which is doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So therefore delaying it, that type of injection that's not for nutritional purposes, delaying it until night is better. Yani it eliminates the doubt. Then he said, ikhraj al-dam, yani taking blood out of the body by hijama, or other than that, even to take, yani to give blood, yani blood donation for a person who's sick. He said all of this also invalidates the fast. As far as a little bit of blood, like for a blood test or something, he said this doesn't invalidate the fast. Likewise, a nosebleed does not invalidate the fast, or having a tooth pulled does not invalidate the fast, because this really doesn't affect the fasting person. Also, from the things that invalidate the fast is vomiting intentionally. The Shaykh says, and he mentions the hadith, whoever is overcome by vomiting, then there's no making up of the fast, nothing, no blame on him. But whoever does it intentionally has to make up the fast. And then the Shaykh goes on to the matters that we didn't mention last week. Now, no, we're not going to talk about that, because we talked about that last week. I'm just reviewing what we covered last week. Shaykh said a blood test, do you have a sample of blood? It doesn't invalidate the fast. A blood test, how much does blood do they take for a blood test? He said a sample of blood. They take a sample, it doesn't invalidate the fast. Yeah.
Usually when they take blood for blood tests,
they
take one or two caps.
Five.
Okay.
Okay.
So would that validate?
The Shaykh said a blood test, it doesn't invalidate the fast. Shaykh Uthaymeen, we read last week, also he said a small amount of blood for a blood test does not invalidate the fast. He said that's not like hijama, where a lot of blood is being taken from the body. So by comparison, he's saying that if a lot of blood is taken, then it invalidates the fast. But we also said last week that this is not agreed upon, that hijama invalidates the fast. There's difference of opinion about this, okay? There's evidence on both sides. I don't want to go back to what we talked about last week, because we want to cover what we didn't cover last week, okay? And we don't have a lot of time, okay? The Shaykh, he says, also from the things that he says, and I'm saying, like, I want to go through it like quickly for the benefit of what he said. And there's still some points of difference of opinion, very, very important points that we didn't cover yet. But as far as what Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, he brings other important points. From amongst them, he said it is يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَجَنَّبَ الصَّائِمُ الْإِكْتِهَالِ يعني كُهُلْ وَمُدَاوَةَ الْعَيْنَيْنِ, or treating the eyes بِقَطْرٍ, yani with a drop, with like eye drops, or other than that, at the time of fasting, muhafazatan ala siyami, yani just to guard and protect the fast. He's not saying absolutely invalidates the fast, but he says better yatajannab, that the fasting person avoid these things just to protect his fasting from any doubt or yani whatever in the matter. Okay, using kuhul in the eyes or using eye drops in the eyes or other than that while a person is fasting. Inshallah, we'll come back to this point, yani, of what some of the other scholars said, that definitely does not invalidate the fast. Next point, the Shaykh says, وَلَا يُبَالِغْ فِي الْمُضْمَضَ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ, that the person should not go to the extreme in putting water into the mouth or in the nose while performing wudu. يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, because perhaps the water may go inside the body. And he said, the hadith of the Prophet, وَبَالِغْ بِالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا, so go to the extreme in taking the water into the nose, unless you are fasting. So the Shaykh said, if you're fasting, don't go to the extreme. and sniffing water into the nose or into the mouth, perhaps it may go into the body. This hadith is reported by Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmed in his Musnad, rahimahumullah, all of them. Sheikh says, والسواك لا يؤثر على الصائم. Siwak has no effect on the siyam. على siyam, I'm sorry. لا يؤثر على siyam. Has no effect on the fast. Rather, it is mustahab, muraddab, is something encouraged. Use a miswak for the fasting person and other than the fasting person in the beginning of the day or in the end of the day, according to ala as-sahih. Yani ala as-sahih means the shaykh is saying that there's difference of opinion. But what is correct is that using the miswak is mustahab and it is encouraged, muraggab, for the fasting person and the non-fasting person in the beginning of the day or in the end of the day. It's encouraged to use it all the time for everybody, fasting or non-fasting, whether in the beginning or the end of the day. He's saying ala sahih because some of the scholars say not to use it in the end of the day. And what's sahih is that it's encouraged to use it at any time in the day. Then the Shaykh says, wala tara fi halqihi gubarun aw dhubabun lam yu'athir ala siyamihi. So if something flew into his throat, you know, or went into his mouth, like some dust or insect, a fly or something like this, then it does not affect the fast. I'm turning now to page 265. I was reading from page 262, Mulakhas al-Fiqhi. The Shaykh says, now he goes into other matters that are not specifically related to yani the physical fasting condition. Shaykh says, yajibu ala sa'im ijtinabu kadhab wa ghiba wa shatam. Yani it is yajibu, obligatory for the fasting person to avoid lying, backbiting, and abusing people. He said yajibu. وَإِنْ سَابَهُ أَحَدٌ أَوْ شَتَمَهُ فَلْيُقُلْ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. But if somebody abuses him, yani speaks harshly to you, ill speech, or abuses you in some other kind of way, then say to them, I am fasting. And as it came in the hadith. For indeed, some of the people, listen to what the Shaykh is saying here, فَإِنَّ بَعْضُ النَّاسِ قَدْ يُسْحَلُ عَلَيْهِ تَرْكَ الطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابُ. Some people, it's easy for them to leave eating and drinking. وَلَكِنْ لَا يُسْحَلْ عَلَيْهِ تَرْكَ مَا اِعْتَادَهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ الرَّدِيَّةِ. But it's not easy for them to leave that which they became accustomed to of evil speech and actions. And in some people, easy for them to give up food and drinking. But their ill behavior, their evil speech, they can't give it up easy. So the Shaykh is saying here, this is a very important point, that you have to not just give up eating and drinking, but what's more important than that is give up the other stuff that you might have difficulty with, your ill behavior and ill speech, evil speech and evil behavior. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ بَعْدُ السَّلَفِ. For this reason, some of the Salaf said, أَحْوَنُ السِّيَامُ تَرْكَ الطَّعَامُ وَالشَّرَابُ. The easiest type of fasting is just giving up food and drink. That's easy, there's nothing to it. فَعَلَى الْمُسْلِمُ أَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَيَخَافَهُ وَيَسْتَشْعِرَ أَذَمَةَ رَبِّهِ وَإِتْلَاهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ حِينٍ وَعَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ. Therefore, it is incumbent upon the Muslim to observe taqwa of Allah and to have fear of Allah and to call to mind, yastashir, call to mind, think about, reflect upon the greatness of your Rabb and that He is overlooking you in every time and in every condition. فَيُحَافِظُ عَلَى سِيَامِهِ مِنَ الْمُفْسَدَاتِ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدَاتِ وَالْمُنْقِصَاتِ. So the person should guard, protect and preserve their fast from the things that invalidate it, mufsidat, and the things that lessen its perfection and its reward, the munqisat, that cause a naqs in your fasting, makes it defective so that its reward is yani decreased. And this is liyakuna siyamuhu sahihan, so that your fasting will be correct, so that it will be sahih. Then the Shaykh says, yanbaghi lil muslim an yashtaghil بذكر الله وتلاوة القرآن والإكثار من النوافل. Yani it is also incumbent upon the fasting person to occupy themselves with the remembrance of Allah and recitation of the Quran and increasing in their voluntary deeds. Yani, this is not just Ramadan. This is in general. Like today if somebody's fasting, or tomorrow fasting Ashura, this is applicable. That a person increase, yani, that they occupy themselves with the dhikr of Allah and recitation of the Quran and doing extra nawafil, voluntary deeds. فَقَدْ كَانَ السَّلَفْ إِذَا صَامُوا جَلَسُوا فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ وَقَالُوا نَحْفَذُوا صَوْمَنَا وَلَا نَجْتَابُ أَحَدًا. The Salaf, when they used to fast, they used to sit in the masjids and they used to say, we protect our fast in this way, by being in the masjid, by performing the prayers, by engaging in the dhikr of Allah and recitation of the Quran. So that what? In this environment, we protect our fast and we don't engage in backbiting anyone. And the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّوْ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. And in some of the narrations, يعني, whoever didn't give up قَوْلَ الزُّوْ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ and acting in upon it, وَالْجَهْلَ and ignorant behavior, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Then Allah has no need. حَاجَةٌ, Allah has no need. Of course, Allah has no need of anything. But here the Prophet said, Allah has no need of them giving up their food and their drink. Some of the scholars said, La hajatun, meaning la yaqbal. Allah doesn't accept their giving up their food and their drink. Because Allah has no need of them giving up. Of course Allah has no need of anything. Allah has no needs. Allah is free of needs. Allah is al-ghani. But here the meaning is what? Allah has no need. Yani, if a person doesn't give up evil speech and acting in ignorantly and acting in according to falsehood, then Allah doesn't accept just giving up food and drink while you engage in those things that He has made haram, whether you're fasting or not fasting. فَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُتِمُّ التَّقَرُّبِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِتَرْكِ هَذِهِ الشَّهَوَاتِ الْمُبَاحَ فِي غَيْرِ حَالِ الصِّيَامِ إِلَّا بِالتَّقَرُّبِ إِلَيْهِ بِتَرْكِ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ مِنَ الْكَذِبِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ عَلَى النَّاسِ في دمائهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم. Here the Shaykh makes the final point from this chapter, very important point. Yani, why did the Prophet ﷺ say Allah doesn't accept that you, yani, give that you give up food and drink? He doesn't accept it if you don't give up, yani, evil speech and evil action and evil behavior. Why? Because لا يتم التقرب إلى الله تعالى. You will not complete and perfect your seeking to get near to Allah by giving up these shahawat, eating and drinking and sexual relations, al-mubaha fi ghayri halati sam, which are really permissible things if you're not fasting. They are permissible. So just giving up permissible things is not going to complete your getting near to Allah if you don't give up the things that Allah made haram for fasting and non-fasting. If you're not going to give up those things that are haram all the time, so what's the benefit of giving up things that Allah has made lawful for you, except that you're just fasting now? So what's the point then? Yani, if you're not going to give up the haram things, so what's the point of giving up lawful things? You're not really achieving the purpose, and the purpose is what? At-taqarrub ila Allah. That doesn't happen if you don't give up the haram things, like kizib, lying, and dhulm, yani, wrongdoing, wa udwan ala nas, transgressing against the people in reference to their blood and their wealth and their honor. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned some hadith. These hadith are not, yani, they have weaknesses, right? But in any case, yani, the meaning is there, right? An Abi Hurayrata radiallahu anhu marfu'an, he attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the saying, As-sa'im fi ibadatin ma lam yaghtab musliman aw yu'dhihi. Yani, that the fasting person is engaged in worship as long as he doesn't backbite a Muslim or harm a Muslim. Yani, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us al-ihsan. Yani, excellence in whatever we do. Allah has more right that if we, yani, engage in any act of worship, that we should do it with ihsan. Therefore, yani, these things that the Shaykh is saying here are really critical. That a person doesn't imagine that they just abstain from eating and drinking and that this is sufficient for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, to get near to Allah, a person has to, yani, do whatever they do with excellence, with perfection. to the best of your ability. And that includes especially, yani first and foremost, giving up everything that Allah has made haram upon us. So here the Shaykh mentions these two hadith. The first of them, the fasting person is engaged in ibadah, worship of Allah. Therefore, I mean the person is engaged in ibadah as long as they didn't engage in backbiting of a Muslim or harming a Muslim. This hadith is reported in a number of books. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in Jami' al-Saghir, yani the book of Al-Imam al-Suyuti. He mentioned Da'if Jami' al-Saghir, that the hadith is yani weak. And he also mentions it in the Silsila al-Sahih al-Hadith al-Da'ifah, hadith number 1829. There's some discussion about it there. And it's in Da'if Jami' al-Saghir, hadith number 3528. The meaning of it is absolutely correct, as we have seen from whatever has preceded, that fasting is definitely active worship, and a person's fast is not going to be complete or perfect or maybe even accepted if they don't abstain from the things that Allah had made absolutely haram, whether you're fasting or not. The second hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, ما صام من ظل يأكل لحوم الناس, that the person has not fasted as long as they continue eating the flesh of the people. And also, this hadith is mentioned by Imam Suyuti in Jami' al-Saghir. Shaykh al-Albani mentions it in the Da'if Jami' al-Saghir, hadith number 5083. So the hadith is weak. And then also, Silsila hadith al-Da'ifa, hadith number 4451. Yani, it has weakness in its isnad, but the meaning of it is true. There's no doubt about it. But how can a person expect that they will get credit for fasting, abstaining from food and drink, while they're eating the flesh of the people? Then the Shaykh, he closes his final statement, فَالصَّائِمْ يَتْرُكُ أَشْيَاء كَانَتْ مُبَاحَ فِي غَيْرِ حَالَةِ السِّيَامِ. The fasting person leaves many things which are permissible if a person is not in a state of fasting. They are permissible. فَمِنْ بَابَ الْأَوْلَى. So it is more right then, أَنْ يَتْرُكَ الْأَشْيَاء الَّتِي لا تحل له في جميع الأحوال. So it is more right then that the person should leave those things that are not lawful in any situation or circumstance, fasting or otherwise, ليكون في إداد الصائمين حقا, so that person will be included amongst those who are counted in truth as those who are fasting. This is the end of what the Shaykh says. I don't know how much time we have before the Iqamah. Do we have 10 minutes or just 10 minutes? What did he say? 5 o'clock? Oh, we have 5 o'clock. 5. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I want to go back to one of the points Sheikh Salih Fawzan mentions on page 263, point number 2, in Zal al-Mani. بسبب التقبيل أو لمس أو استمناء أو تكرار النظر. That, yani whoever caused there to be an emission of semen by kissing or hugging or touching or even masturbation, separate issue from the other issues. Sheikh said this invalidates the fast. The person has to make up for that day, but they do not have kafara. Yani the kafara that's from having sexual relations. Here, I'm going to refer to a little bit to what Sheikh al-Albani said concerning this. Two matters. First, kissing for the fasting person. Kissing. Sheikh, he says in Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya, Sheikh al-Albani, page 225, point number 11, حكم al-Qubla للصائم, yani the ruling concerning kissing for the fasting person, yani that it is permissible. Yani the ruling concerning kissing. Shaykh is saying, what? If a person kiss while they're fasting, kiss their spouse, and they cause seminal emission, it invalidates the fast. So this point is related to what? It's related to the kissing itself. Is it permissible or not permissible? Shaykh al-Albani says in Sahihah, volume 1, 383, narration from Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كَانَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يَقْبِلُنِي وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ وَأَنَا صَائِمًا. Yani the Prophet used to kiss me while he was fasting and I was also fasting. Hadith number 219, Sahiha. والحديث دليل على جواز تقبيل الصائم لزوجته في رمضان. يعني this hadith indicates the permissibility of a person kissing their spouse while they are fasting during the month of Ramadan. وقد اختلف العلماء على أكثر من أربع أقوال أرجعها الجواز. And the scholars differ about this. Is it permissible or not? But after hearing this hadith, the Shaykh is saying that the scholars have four opinions concerning this. The best of them, the strongest of them, is that kissing for the fasting person while they're fasting is permissible. As long as, yani, you pay attention to the one who's doing the kissing. Yani, if that person is a young person who fears for their self that it might cause them to fall into having sexual intercourse, which definitely, certainly would invalidate their fast, then in that case, it is better the person abstain from it. Is it permissible? Yes. But the person has to pay attention to their situation and their condition. If it could lead to that which is clearly haram, then it's better that they amtana, stay away from it, avoid it, hold back, restrain from it. And this is something that's pointed to by Aisha radiallahu anha, when she said in another hadith, وَأَيُّكُمْ يَمْلِكُ إِرْبِهِ. Which one of you controls your desires? Yani, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nam, the Prophet used to do this, but which one of you control your desires as he did? From that which supports the view of Shaykh al-Albani is that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, this view is supported by the hadith in which a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an al-mubashara lis-sa'im. Yani, a person hugging their spouse while they are fasting. And the Prophet allowed him. Then another man came to him and asked him the same thing. And he prohibited him. So, when it is examined, it became clear. The one that the Prophet ﷺ gave permission to do so, the one that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited from doing so, was a young man. And the one that the Prophet ﷺ allowed was an older man. Meaning that the condition of the two was not the same. This narration is reported by Abu Dawood from the hadith of Abu Hurairah. So the ruling concerning this of Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah on this hadith, initially he used to say that this hadith was weak. It's mentioned in Mishkat as being da'if. And then in a later ruling that's mentioned in al-Sahiha, he said that this hadith is sahih. And it's mentioned in the Sahih of Abu Dawood, hadith number 2387, and in Hidayat al-Ruwat, in the hadith number 1947. Okay, so the point here is that the matter of kissing while fasting, the strongest opinion concerning, wallahu alam, is that it's permissible. However, Shaykh al-Albani, even though he said it's permissible, he said that a person should consider their condition. If it could lead to something that's clearly haram, then a person should avoid it. And if not, then there's no harm. After this, on point number 12, page 226, Ikhtiyarat Shaykh al-Albani, Hukum al-Mubashara lis-Sa'im. That ruling was specifically about kissing, and then he went into some other details, but this ruling is about a person, yani, having direct contact with their spouse while they're fasting. Hukum al-Mubashara, yani, having direct contact, hugging like this for the fasting person. Shaykh al-Albani in Sahiha, volume 1387, he mentions the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to yubashiru wa huwa sa'im. He used to hug them while he was fasting. ثم يجعل بينه وبينها ثوبا يعني الفرج. But he used to place something between him and his spouse over the area of the private area, the farj. This is mentioned in Sahih hadith number 221. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to hug while he was fasting, but he used to place something between him from having direct contact with the private areas of his spouse when he hugged them, meaning to avoid sexual intercourse. In this hadith, there's an important benefit, and it is tafsir al-mubashara, the explanation of what is meant by mubashara. Aisha said he used to yubashir, but she explained that that mubashir did not include sexual intercourse, because she said what? He used to place something between us, a thawban, between, yani, over the area of the private area. So in that hadith, there's a clarification that al-mubashara, yani hugging or touching, does not include sexual intercourse, because yani she clearly states that he used to touch his wife or his yani his wives, but excluding yani the farj, yani the actual yani sexual intercourse. This hadith yadullu ala annahu qawl mu'tamid. Yani this hadith proves that the view of Shaykh al-Albani is yani a reliable view, and that there is no evidences in the Sharia which negate it. Rather, there are sayings of the Salaf which support it and strengthen it and increase yani its validity. And from them is the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, reported by Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, yani in which yani with an isnad that is sahih from Hakim ibn Iqal, that annahu qala, that he said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, ma yuhramu alayya min imraati wa ana sa'im. Yani what is forbidden for me in reference to my wife while I am fasting? Qalat Aisha radiallahu anha, farjuha. Yani what's forbidden? Actual sexual intercourse. Meaning, other than that, it's all permissible while you're fasting. وَقَدْ عَلَّقَهُ الْبُخَارِي يعني بِصِغَةُ الْجَزْمِ. And this same narration, statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, has been mentioned by Imam Bukhari مُعَلَّقًا but بِصِغَةُ الْجَزْمِ. مُعَلَّقًا means what? يعني that Imam Bukhari narrated some hadith in which not allaqa alayhi ta'aliqan, explanation, not. Allaqahu meaning he narrated the hadith mu'allaqan, meaning that the beginning of the isnad is absent. It's not present. But he narrated it mu'allaqan bi sighatil jazm. So Imam Bukhari, from the manhaj of Imam Bukhari, is that if he mentions the hadith without the complete isnad, then if he narrated بِسِغَةُ الْجَزْمِ يعني قَالَ with clear speech, then that means he considered it to be authentic. But if he narrated يعني with the wording like قِيلَ, then that means it's questionable. So here Imam Bukhari narrates this narration بِسِغَةُ الْجَزْمِ مُعَلَّقًا, meaning that he considered it, even though he didn't mention the complete hadith, the isnad, but he considered it to be authentic. He mentioned it under the chapter, Imam Bukhari mentions it under the chapter Bab al-Mubashara lis-sa'im. وقالت عائشة رضي الله عنها يحرم عليه فرجها. And Imam Bukhari narrated under the chapter al-Mubashara lis-sa'im, the sa'im yani having direct contact with the spouse. Aisha said, Bukhari narrates that Aisha said concerning that رضي الله عنها, what is prohibited on the sa'im يعني is the farj only. So again, yani these two things, Shaykh al-Albani's view concerning it is that kissing for the fasting person, kissing their spouse, hugging their spouse, touching their spouse, that all of this is permissible. Also Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentioned kuhl, that's better to avoid it. Shaykh al-Albani says on the same page 226, Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya, point number 13, Hukm al-kuhl والحقنة يعني الإبرة في نهار رمضان. These are two points. Alcohol. What do you call alcohol? That you put in the eyes. Is there an English word for it? There is an English word. Huh? No, not eye drops. Kohol, yani the powder that you put in. I forgot the name. There's an English word for it. In any case, we know what kohol is, right? Yani some people use it. Women use it for beautification, and men use it also like that. But actually kohl has medicinal purpose that's good for the eyes. Okay, in any case, there's a difference of opinion concerning whether or not a person can put the kohl in their eyes while they are fasting. No, not eyelash. Kohl. Okay, listen, hold on, wait a minute. Kaf, ha, lam. You look it up. Look it up, please. Kohl. Okay? I don't remember the word that's used for it. It just slipped my mind now. I should have written it down. That's the point. That's the problem of not writing something down, then you forget, right? But everybody should know what is kohol. Everybody should know what is kohol. Huh? Yeah, that's how do you say it?
Antimony.
That's one of the words that they use for it. Now, Okay, it's a powder that is used for yani beautification, but also it has medicinal purposes. Yani it should be used for a medicine to improve strength of the eyes and so on. He mentioned kohl, and he also mentioned hukna, yani an ibra, yani an injection, a needle, using a needle while the person is fasting, and specifically mentioned day of Ramadan, but it's in reference to fasting in general. Sheikh al-Albani said in Da'ifa, yani Silsila Haditha Da'ifa, third volume, 80, page 80, as-sawab, what is correct, is that kohl la yuftir as-sa'im, it doesn't invalidate the fast of the fasting person. فَهُوَ بِالنِّسْبَةِ إِلَيْكَ السِّوَاكِ, and it is, in reference to the fasting person using kohl, is like the fasting person using miswak. Same thing, it doesn't invalidate at all. يَجُوز and يَتَعَاطَاهُ, it is permissible to engage in it. وَقْتَ مَا شَاءَ, any time that you will. خِلَافًا لِمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِيثَ الدَّعِيفِ, in contradiction or contrary to that which the weak hadith points to. الَّذِي كَانَ سَبَبًا مُبَاشَرًا لِصَرْفْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْأَخْذِ بِالسَّوَابِ الَّذِي دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ التَّحْقِيقِ التَّحْقِيقِ الْعِلْمِي. And the Shaykh said it's permissible to use it anytime that you will, contrary to what the weak hadith which caused many people, which was the direct cause of many people going away from taking the correct opinion concerning this matter, that's based upon التحقيق العلمي, scholastic verification, scholastic research, points to the fact that it does not invalidate, but many people were misled by what? By a hadith that is da'if. And what he intends by the hadith of Ma'bad ibn Hawtha radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لِيَتَّقِهِ لِيَتَّقِهِ, يعني you should avoid it, the fasting person, الصائم لِيَتَّقِهِ الصائم يعني الكهل, يعني hadith in which is reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the fasting person should avoid the using kuhl, but the hadith is da'if. Shaykh al-Bani mentioned Silsila Haditha Da'ifa, hadith number 1014. Second issue that he mentioned on the point number 13 is using the needle, the injections, hukna or al-ibra, taking an injection. The Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, ma akthara as-su'al anhu fi hadha al-asr. Oh, how much came this question in this day and time? And about the injections. وَطَالَ النِّزَاعَ فِيهِ أَلَا وَهُوَ حُكْمُ الْحُكْنَى. He said there's lengthy, long drawn out debate and discussion concerning this issue, that is the ruling concerning injections. الْحُكْنَى or الْإِبْرَى فِي الْعَضْلِ وَالْعِرْقِ, يعني the injection that a person takes in their muscle or in their vein. فالذي نرجحه أنه لا يفطر في شيء من ذلك إلا ما كان المقصود منه تغذية المريض فهذه وحدها هي التي تفطر والله أعلم. Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, what I consider to be the rajih, the strongest view, is that this injection does not, no type of injection invalidates the fast unless it is injection that is intended as nutrition for the sick person. This is the only type of injection that invalidates the fast, and Allah knows best. And this point is a very important point. We're not going to have a lot of discussion about it, there's no time to, but the point is what? That many people, due to their sicknesses and their conditions, do not fast in Ramadan because they're taking injections. And they believe those injections invalidate the fast. And the Shaykh is saying, الَّذِي نُرَجِّحُهُ, what we consider to be the Raji, strongest opinion based on evidence, is that there's no type of injection that invalidates the fast unless that injection is taken with the intent for the purpose of nutrition. If it's not for that purpose, no matter what kind of injection you take, it does not invalidate the fast. And this is also the opinion of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and we alluded to it previously, and it's also the really the opinion of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, even though sometimes he said something that could be understood differently, but his real opinion, as we read last week, is that nothing invalidates the fast except food and drink, or that which fi ma'ana, huma, that which has the same meaning as food and drink, meaning that which substitutes for it, take the place of it, is used for the same purpose of food and drink. If it doesn't take the place of food and drink, it doesn't substitute for food and drink, it does not invalidate the fast, no matter what kind of injection you've taken. And this is really the more correct view. Wallahu alam. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, mentions a long opinion of Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah in his book Fiqh al-Sunnah. What is the book? I didn't read from it a long time, but it's Shaykh al-Albani's book. That is the title of it, is something like that, Fiqh al-Sunnah. But it's not the Fiqh al-Sunnah of Sayyid Sabiq. In that book, the Shaykh talks about this particular issue, and he quotes in support of this view here of Shaykh al-Albani. He quotes the opinion of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, where he clearly states that nothing invalidates the fast except food or drink, or that which takes the place of it, in terms of things going into the body. We're not talking about sexual intercourse or vomiting. We're talking about in terms of taking things into the body, whether by injection or intravenous or any other means, by accident, intention, or whatever. If its purpose is not to provide nutrition for the body, if it's not food or drink, or that which substitutes, makes a person free of need of food or drink, then it doesn't invalidate the fast. Wallahu a'lam. And this is there's a long discussion concerning this. As the Shaykh said, in this day and time, the question came over and over and over again so many times. The last thing that we want to talk about here, in the few minutes that remain, and next week inshallah we should be answering the questions at the end of this lesson, is the issue of istimna. Shaykh al-Albani has a long discussion concerning the person committing the act of masturbation. حكم الاستمناء في نهار رمضان. And he also mentions along with that, a person causing semen to be emitted from their body due to kissing someone's spouse or hugging or whatever is similar to that, anything that's less than actual sexual intercourse. The Shaykh, he first begins that the two views concerning this, the first view is the view of the Jumhur, the majority of scholars. The view of the Jumhur. ذهب الجمهور العلماء إلى أن ذلك كله يبطل الصيام. Masturbation, kissing, hugging that causes seminal emission, all of that, according to the majority of scholars, invalidates the fast. And the person يلزمه القضاء, has to make up for that fast. For the other things, except sexual intercourse, of course, and it requires kafara additionally. But masturbation causing seminal emission due to kissing and hugging and so on, all of this invalidates the fast and requires the person to make up the day for it. Doesn't require kafara because it's not sexual intercourse. They use as proof, the majority, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith Qudsi, fi sha'ni concerning the fasting person, yada ta'amu wa sharabu wa shahwatahu min ajli. And in hadith in which the Prophet said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the fasting person gives up their food and their drink and their desires for my sake. You want to tell me something?
No.
Oh, okay. Gives the desires for my sake. Hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Then the Shaykh says, well, istimna, masturbation is a type of shahwa. It's a type of shahwa. وكذلك إخراج المني بأي وجن. And causing seminal emission by any means whatsoever, whether by kissing, hugging, or whatever, all of this also is a type of shahwa. And what supports the opinion of the majority concerning this is also the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in another hadith, في بضع أحدكم صدقة. In a person having sexual intercourse with their spouse, this is getting the credit of sadaqah. Person have sexual relations with their spouse, it's a sadaqah for them. They said, Ya Rasulullah, أَيَأْتِ أَحَدْ شَحْوَتَهُ. He called sexual intercourse shahwa. This is supporting the opinion of the majority that shahwa refers to sexual intercourse or anything, sexual pleasure. Does a person come to his shahwa, enjoy sexual intercourse with his spouse, يَكُونُ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. He will get a reward for this, like sadaqah. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أرأيتم لو وضعها في الحرام. Don't you see that if he were to place it in that which is haram, not having sexual intercourse with his spouse, with one spouse, but with other than the spouse, in that which is haram, wouldn't he get a sin for that? So if he does that which is lawful, he should get a reward for the hadith reported by Imam Muslim from Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. This is the opinion of the majority. Sheikh is presenting their case, saying this is what their opinion is based on, and this also strengthens their opinion. And then he says, but there's another opinion. Second opinion, Dhahaba ibn Hazm, yani Imam ibn Hazm, rahimahullah, ila annahu, idha istamna bighayri jima'a, lam yufsid sawmahu wa in ta'ammad. Yani al-Imam ibn Hazm, the Imam of the Zahiriya Madhab, he said that if a person masturbates bighayri jima'a, without having actual sexual intercourse with the opposite sex, then this does not invalidate the fast, even if the person did it intentionally. He said, وَلَمْ يَأْتِ بِذَلِكَ نَصٌ وَلَا إِجْمَاعٌ وَلَا قَوْلٌ صَحَابٍ وَلَا قِيَاسٌ. Yani Ibn Hazm said, and those people who said it does, they didn't bring any textual proof, clear textual evidence, nor even ijma, that it's not even ijma of the scholars, nor is there saying of a sahaba, nor even qiyas that is legitimate, that supports their view. This is what Ibn Hazm said in Al-Muhalla, yani volume 6, page 175. And also you can see this statement, the position of Ibn Hazm in Al-Majmu', yani which is a Shafi'i book of fiqh, or Al-Mughni, a Hanbali book of fiqh, or Al-Mabsut, Hanafi book of fiqh. Yani he's giving yani all the references for the different madhahib where you can find this opinion of Ibn Hazm. Then Shaykh al-Albani says, وَلَا دَلِيلَ عَلَىٰ إِبْطَالِ بِذَٰلِكَ أي إبطال السوم بالاستمناء وإخراج المني عن طريق ضمن الزوجة أو تقبيلها ونحو ذلك مما هو دون الجماع. Shaykh al-Albani now says, supporting the opinion of Ibn Hazm, he said there's no dalil that this invalidates, that this act invalidates the fast, yani that the fast is invalidated by masturbation or by other acts that cause seminal emission, whether by hugging one spouse or kissing one spouse or whatever is similar to that, as long as it doesn't actually yani involve actual sexual intercourse. Sheikh said there's no delil for this. وَإِلْحَاقُهُ بِالْجِمَاعِ غَيْرُ ظَاهِرُ yani, and yani joining it, yani masturbation to jima'a, sexual intercourse, joining them together, he said is not apparent. And for that reason, Al-Imam As-San'ani says, Al-Azhar annahu la qada' wa la kafara illa man jama'a. Wa ilhaq ghayr mujami' bihi ba'idun. Al-Imam Muhammad Ali As-San'ani, the great scholar of hadith, and his famous book is Subul As-Salam, the explanation of Bulugh Maram. Al-Imam As-San'ani rahimahullah says, what is more clear is that there's no qada', you don't have to make up that day. Wa la kafara, no expiation, except for the person who actually commits the actual sexual intercourse. And joining masturbation to intercourse, yani joining to the person who commits sexual intercourse, this view is ba'id, far from the truth. وَإِلَيْهِ مَالَ الشَّوْكَانِ. And this same view was the view that Al-Imam al-Shawkani, the famous scholar of hadith from Yemen also, San'ani was from Yemen, al-Shawkani also was inclined to this view, as mentioned in his book, yani the explanation, what is his book?
Nail
al-Awtar. Naam. وَهُوَ madhab ibn Hazm, and this is also the madhab ibn Hazm, so look in al-Mahalla and he gives the reference for it. And then Shaykh al-Albani brings his own kalam here saying, وَمِمَّا يُرْشِدُكَ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ قِيَاسَ الْإِسْتِمْنَاءَ عَلَىٰ الْجِمَاءَ قِيَاسَ مَعَ الْفَارِقِ. Yani what directs you to the fact that making qiyas, analogy between masturbation and sexual intercourse, is a qiyas ma'al fariq, yani qiyas, analogy between two things that are different, they are not the same. وَأَنَّ بَعْدَ, yani what points to that, what makes us know that, is that some of those who said that masturbation is like jima' and invalidates the fast, yani they said it invalidates the fast, but they didn't say that the person who masturbates has to give the kafara, has to yani fulfill the kafara, any expiation. They said it's like yani sexual intercourse and therefore it invalidates the fast, but then they flip back and said, but it's not like sexual intercourse, that's why he doesn't have to have the penalty of kafara. It's not like it because sexual intercourse is aghlava, yani is more severe. And the original ruling was also adam al kafara. Yani the people who said that masturbation is like sexual intercourse, they made qiyas between them in terms of it invalidating the fast, but then they flipped on that view and they said, but not in reference to kafara, because there's a difference between masturbation and sexual intercourse. Sexual intercourse is more severe. And for that reason, they said the original ruling is that there's no kafara unless there's a proof for it. And there's a proof for sexual intercourse, but there's no proof for masturbation. So on one hand, they're saying they are similar, but on the other hand, they're saying they're not similar. So that means that their view concerning the matter, they're making comparison on one hand, saying it validates the fast, but on the other hand, they're saying they are not similar, and therefore the one who masturbates does not have to fulfill the kafara. And Hani, I think Khalid is waiting for me, right? Okay, inshallah, inshallah. Can we stop here and just take 5 minutes after the salat? Can we stop here and take 5 minutes? Or next week, inshallah. No problem. Next week. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. But next week, we have to bring the answers to the questions at the end of this chapter. Even if we finish this discussion next week, we have to bring some answers. And I'll take your question, Ya Abdul Haq, after the salat, inshallah.